God wants you to have. We're going to start verse number 15. Let's stand, if you can, out of respect for God's Word. Ephesians chapter number 5, starting in verse number 15. The Bible says, "See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the opportunity, Father, to be, Father, in the presence of you and being able to open your word, read it, understand it. And Father, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, Lord, make it a productive peace in our life. I pray that you'd bless. I just thank you, Lord, that that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, that your desire is for us to grow and be all that we should be. We could bring you honor and glory, that your will could be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So you can have a seat as we kind of think this through. The idea there is, and that's the purpose that we wanted to memorize this whole verse, whole chapter, because it gives a little bit of everything for each and every person. It talks about wives, it talks about husbands, it talks about the children, and it talks about our theme. And of course, the theme is, it gives us here, is that we walk in love. And the idea there is that the whole thing that puts it together, if you were here this morning for this morning's message, is the idea that he gave us a excellent way, which we referred to in the last of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And it introduces the idea of what most people call the love chapter. I call it our ministry to others chapter. Not love is what you receive, charity is what you give. And so once we have that understanding, and so he's setting the groundwork for you and I having the ability to please God. And we have to do that as we understand by faith. It's not something that we can do without God's help. I can remember, I think, the last time I was here, I talked about the ideas of faith in a very practical way. People could give me a definition. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, faith is really, when you think about the nuts and bolts of it, it's basically you seeing and understanding what the will of God is and then recognizing you can't do it without His help.
That's right.
And you cry out. The Old Testament does not have the term faith used in it. I think one time, I think you'll see the word faith used. But in the Old Testament, the word was trust. All right? You put your trust in God. You say, God, I need your help. If you're a father and you're saying, I want to raise my children for God, you're saying, I need to trust God. All right? Or I need to look to God for help to be a good father. You might say it as a husband. I need God's help to be the husband I need to be. You young people that are sitting up front here, I hope you're paying attention. Not looking this way, are you? Whoops. What are you in church for? You listen to the preaching, right? Preaching the cross is those that perish foolish. Is it foolishness to you? Well, it shouldn't be. It's the power of God unto salvation. If you're not saved, that's what God wants you to be saved. Does that make sense? Can you say yes, sir? Yes, sir. Pay attention. I'll call you out. Your eyes better be looking up here. You know what? Let me say something. You realize I'll get in trouble if you don't do right?
That's right.
You realize the pastor of the church, Pastor Teasdale, not this one, but he stands accountable
for
what goes on in the church.
That's right.
You listening? You want your pastor to get in trouble with God?
That's good.
Pay attention. God's got something for you.
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say children what? Come on, children, what?
Obey
your parents in some things?
All.
All things. Come on. I know there's a problem there. I bet I'd ask your mom and dad. There's an issue, isn't there? Right? So you pay attention.
Amen.
All right? So God has a plan, and that plan, as He gives it the last verse we read in verse 21, is the idea of accountability. We're to be subject one to another. Now, that's the thing we read right through, reread right over. We would jump into the next verse when it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands and to the Lord." Yeah, we got that one. We're triggered on that one, and we should. But what do we do with this verse when the Bible says we're to be subject one to another?
Right.
The idea is accountability.
Amen.
You go to work, you are accountable to your boss, right?
That's right.
You don't show up to work on time, does he call you out on it?
Yep.
You don't do your job right, does he call you out on it?
Yep.
Sure he does. Well, how in the world do we hold ourselves accountable to each other?
That's right. Yeah.
There's another verse I want you to read with me, 1 Peter. This, I think, will even bring it into a little tighter focus. If you'll take your Bibles and turn there, I want to get the context of it at the same time. It also is talking about the idea that there is a role and responsibility that God has. Look in verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, He says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of that glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not for constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," who's that, kids? Who's the chief shepherd? God. Who's the under-shepherd in this church? Pastor. "But when the chief shepherd shall appear," not the elder, which is Pastor Teasdale, "but when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." From why would you receive that crown of glory? Because you were subject to the elder. Right? That's the pastor of the church. God placed the pastor in the church so that you could grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That you could get a chance to hear the preaching of the Word and say, "Oh God, I know You're dealing with me about something in my life. I want to change." That's the reason we have a time at the end of the service where you can say, "Wait, I know God dealt with me. I don't want to wait till I get home. I'm going to deal with it right now while it's fresh on my mind. I'm going to make a vow to God. God, please, don't let me forget this. Let me keep it in mind. Because I'm going to stand on a day, just like the preacher, on a day of a judgment, right? There's two judgments. Who can give me one of them? Two judgments. There's the white throne judgment. What is that? I hope none of you will be there. What is the white throne judgment? That's where all the lost people gather before Christ. And He's going to be searching. He says, "Why didn't you trust Christ? Tell me, you kids, I don't know. Some of you, maybe even adults, you haven't really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to stand at the right judgment. You're going to stand at the judgment where God says, 'Why didn't you do something? Why were you looking down and not looking at the Bible? Why weren't you listening to the preacher when he was telling you how to be born again, how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ?'" It'll be shame not on me, but it'll be shame on you. So pay attention.
Amen.
God has something for you. He says, verse number 5, He says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder, and yea, listen to this, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to" what?
Humble.
The humble. So God's saying, listen, there's going to be a judgment seat. There's going to be an accountability time coming ahead.
It's good.
God is preparing us all, isn't He?
Amen.
And God is good, isn't He?
This is.
God says, listen, I loved you. I died for you. I want you to your life to be all glorious. I want to be you. I want you to be a person that I can use in this world. Warn other people. As the Bible says, we're to warn every man, teach every man in all wisdom, that you may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Kids, you have a baby brother, baby sister? You got one? You got one too? How about, would they be looking at you for direction? Mm-hmm. Well, can you be a good example? Oh, can you be a bad example too? You think God will say something to you if you've been a bad example? I don't say He will. He is a God of accountability. So when we think about this blessing of accountability, the idea is subject or accountability. But there's a prerequisite to that. You say, what is the prerequisite? It's not only a prerequisite, it is the power that we have, and that power is love. You think about it, why do we want to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is our motive? We love Him. Come on, say it with me. We love Him because He first loved us. We want to serve Him because of what He's done for us. He saved me from going to hell. How about that?
Amen.
He saved me from destroying my marriage and destroying my children.
Amen.
And He saved me from so many things. He probably saved me from things I don't even know about.
Right.
My asking questions you. Everybody know Romans 8:28? You said it tonight. Who said it tonight? All things work together for good. To them that love God, and to them that are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
God has a plan. And that plan is that you have this relationship with Him that's going to be far above everything that you could even ask or think. And the idea there, He said, well, how do you love God? I bet if I went out there and I asked everybody, do you love God? Listen, do you love God? I bet if I ask you, I'd say, prove your love. You say you love Him. Well, we're going to find out what that means. Turn your Bible to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. I'm going to get you guys busy here. I want you to help me out reading this. If you've got readers, pop your hand up. I'll have you help me. John chapter 15, verses 10. Read verse 10 and 11. Okay. Elizabeth, 12, 13. Who's another reader? Debbie, 14, 15. Got two more verses, 16 and 17. Got them? Everybody got their place? All right. So you got the first two verses. What are they?
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall hide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. And as in His love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that you remain in you.
The joy might be full.
Good job. 12 and 13. Go.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
14 and 15.
Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you.
All right, last two.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should be many, that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another.
We started off with God saying, if you love me, do what?
You've got to
know what His will is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means you've got to be in the Bible every day. Kids, you're just skipping your devotions, and some of you adults that don't take it serious, listen, you're not loving God. Come on, how are you going to know His will if you're not in His Word?
Missing out.
I don't know of another way to know His will. You're just going to guess at it? You've got to get something from the Lord Jesus Christ every morning saying, Lord, please speak to my heart so I can know Your will and do it.
Amen.
With Your help. So we know it's keeping His commandments. Let's go. By a desire and by His grace to pass that love along. How about that? You have experienced Christ. Isn't that great? But he doesn't want you to be selfish with that. We learned that this morning. Chapter 13 is my ministry to others. Remember that. It's not the love chapter. It's your ministry to others. Love is what you receive. Charity is what you do. And that's what God has planned. Listen, you go home, kids. If you aren't ministering and being a blessing to mom and dad, you're not in the will of God. Are you listening? If mom is griping and complaining, you're not doing your schoolwork and you're not picking up your toys and you're fighting. Are you in the will of God? No, you're not. God's not very happy with you.
Amen.
Husband, if you gotta love your wives as you love yourself.
That's right.
Whoa.
Yes.
How often do we miss that mark? Listen, God has a plan, and that plan is the idea that we got to love Him, and that prerequisite to be able to love Him, to be able to be accountable to one another. Look at that, John chapter 17, verse 26. Who will read that for me? Go ahead, Robert.
John 17, verse 26.
Yep.
And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Thank you, Robert. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, what you gave me, what I experienced from you, I'm giving what? Them.
That's right.
This is the only prayer that we hear what most people call the Lord's Prayer. He's just teaching his disciples how to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
His desire is to pass on what he gave you. Listen, if that's all you can talk about is how much God, if your love is all inwardly, I mean, we have a ministry in our church which is called the Track of the Week. Everybody gets 10 drafts. Guess what you're supposed to do with those drafts?
Give them out.
Yeah. You're supposed to give a verbal witness. If you can't, you give out a tract. It is your responsibility. You say, why? Well, that's a duty. That's no. It's because I love him, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
That's right.
It's my job. And if I really say I love God, then I'm going to do what he asked me to do.
Amen.
You're going to have soul winning on Saturday or whenever you had it in midweek or on church day. Where should you be if you love God? You
should be there.
See, we need to be out telling people about Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
There's got to be something deep inside that says that's what God's made me to do. Because say it with me, I love Him. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. Isn't that what the Bible says? Didn't we read that? Kids, did you read that? I'm not getting any signals. See if it works like this. Does it work like this too? Alright, good. I want you to stay in this message because it's for you.
All of us. Amen.
It is, honestly. Where do you think your Christian life... Robert gave testimony. His daddy, right? You thank God for your dad.
Amen.
You got a daddy that's taking you to church. You got a daddy that's encouraging you to read the Bible. Or a mom. And they get up in the morning, they have their devotions. You ought to be having yours at the same time. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know how to read.
Listen.
Memorize.
Amen.
Number three, recognizing my debt to others. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter number 13. Who would read that? Verse 8 and 9. This deals with the idea of our responsibility to those in authority over us. Who would read that for me? All right, Dave. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9.
Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
All right.
Wow.
You know, if you want to take those commandments, you know, if you're not in adultery in a wrong relationship, then you ought to have say, well, what can I do to make my marriage better? If I'm not hurting somebody, I ought to be helping somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that if thou shalt not bear false witness, if I shouldn't bear false witness, I should be telling what?
Truth.
The truth. Mm-hmm. You got the truth.
Amen.
You and I have the truth that God has given us. So we have to be in this recognition that I am indebted to every person around me.
Amen.
Every person I know. I owe them something. I'm coming to this church, I owe you something.
Amen.
Right? I'm indebted to you for something. So the idea, the prerequisite, if you're going to be accountable, requires that you have to love God. If you don't get this first part, if you don't get the first one, then what I'm going to preach on the rest of them going to make any sense.
No.
You see, if you don't agree with me at this point, I love God, I appreciate what God's done for me, I'm going to serve God as long as I can serve Him.
Amen.
I'm going to do everything I possibly can do. I'm going to give Him my heart, my mind, my soul. It all belongs to Him. I'm surrendered to His will.
Come on.
So there is what I call accountability across partnering. And I give the definition of partnering in there. There's natural partners. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, 27, verse 17. Who would read that one for me? Book? Is it Devin? Devin, read 20, Proverbs 17, verse, or 27, 17. And who would do 27, 9?
John.
John, please. Thank you.
Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Woo!
Mm. Amen.
Come on.
It's good.
You got responsibility, right? To somebody else?
Amen.
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Devin and I just read these out loud to each other.
Did
this morning.
You?
It's kind of interesting.
Amen.
Yeah. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
We're here for the hearty counsel.
We're hearty counsel. Let's have it. Let's get it.
Amen.
So there's natural ones. Now we know what Ephesians, I'm not going to rehearse some of this because it's something you've already heard. But there's a natural partnership. Ephesians 5:21 gives us that relationship that husbands are to love their wives and wives are to reverence their husbands, right?
Amen.
That's a call God has given you to do.
That's right.
It's part of that accountability. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. If you want to turn there, we'll look at that one. Who wants to read verse 5:33? What is it now? Your first name. I want to get your name.
Emma.
Emma. Yes. Read it for me, Emma. As soon as you get there. And then I need someone to turn over to Malachi chapter 2. Who would do Malachi chapter 2? Go all the way back there. And
Eric.
Malachi, there's quite a few there, so but I want all that read in Malachi. All right. Emma, are you ready? Ephesians 5 and verse 33. Find it? Like me, it's taking me forever to get there.
Yeah, verse 33.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see she receives
see that
reverence the husband.
Very good. Thank you. Good job. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14 and 15.
You say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between you and your wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? That he had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth.
Amen.
So what's that saying? In order for mom and dad to raise up a godly seed, they got to be what?
Godly.
They got to be one.
One.
And they have to have the residue of what spirit?
God's spirit.
God's spirit.
Holy Spirit.
It's the only way it works.
That's it.
And that's really the only way to be one.
That's right.
And so why is this partnering important? To raise up a what kind of seed?
Godly.
You got to be on the same page, mom and dad.
That's right. Amen.
You better get with God. I don't care what your differences are. You're going to be held accountable before God for this godly seed. He said, he told these priests that he was telling there, he said, I'm going to wipe dung on your face. Do I need to describe what dung is? It ain't pretty.
Mm-mm.
He says, you have the responsibility. I'm holding you accountable. Because listen to me, if the priest can't do it, the same thing in the New Testament. If the pastor can't have a good family, should he be pastoring?
No.
He's not qualified.
That's right.
Because you're held accountable, a high standard that God puts in there. So parents and children, we're not going to go too deeply into this, but you understand that we see the partnership between husband and wife. You also see it between parents and children.
Right.
That's a natural. Think about it this way. Elizabeth? On Elizabeth. I think mom and dad love you. You sure? I mean, you're really sure. I mean, you've really thought it through. How do you know that?
They show me like taking care of me and providing me your food. And
did they ever mention something when you kind of did something and maybe that ain't quite right? Did they say something to you? Do they really kind of deal with it? They won't let you get by with it, what you're saying. Doing wrong. They won't? Really? They won't let you get by with it. Doing wrong? How about you? Your mom and dad really love you? Come on.
Yes.
Prove it. How do you know? Must mean they care about you or something. Now, if they really care about you, do you want to fight against them? Dad, don't spank me! Don't tell me what I do wrong!
We do it anyway.
He loves you and he's doing this for whose good? Your good. So instead of fighting against mom and dad, we ought to get on board with them, right? Matter of fact, when you say it, how many ever told a lie and you got by with it? You got by with it. Or you thought you did. Right? How would it be that if you went and told a lie and you said, why am I fighting this? Mom and dad's really trying to help me. I need to go to them and tell them I did something wrong because I just need to be dealt with. I know they love me and they want to care for me and they want the best for me. I just need to go and tell them that. You're partnering with your mom and dad for who's good?
My good.
You're good. You know, that doesn't end there. Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up the children in the way they should be, they should go, and when they're old, they what? They won't depart from it. So God uses partnering all the time. And he uses it now, we see in Ephesians, the idea of And in 1 Peter, the idea of subjection. Turn your Bible. Who would read for me Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15? Somebody hadn't read yet. DJ, you had your hand up there. You read that for me?
Yeah, I'm trying to get there.
That's okay. We're in no hurry. We're just going to go home when we get done. You can read verse 21 while you're there. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, if you're following along where DJ's at. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15.
Peter 5.
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15.
Ephesians.
Oh, you went. I think it's in 1 Peter. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, you're okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And then verse 21. Yep.
He walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. 21.
Yep.
Is submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Amen.
All right, so we're to walk what kind of way?
God.
Circumspectly. You heard of circumference, right? Right? Circle. That means we're to be looking around. Hey, how can I walk wisely?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
What can I do? I mean, I think about it. I mean, what can I do to be a blessing to somebody else? And how can they be a blessing to me? That's my role and responsibility. And verse 21, DJ.
He read it.
Did you? Submitting yourself what? One to another.
Fear of God.
In the fear of God. Now, I've never had this, maybe one time, but I think it's a great idea. We don't use this, but I think it's a great idea. We all know the, what do they call it, the Alcohol Anonymous,
mm-hmm.
right? And they meet together, right? And they come together, and what do they do in those little circle meetings that they have?
It's problems.
Probably. I've not been to many. Well, Aaron, what do they do?
They have accountability.
They have accountability. Tell me how it works.
Okay, I don't know. I've never been there, but I just...
No, go ahead.
But people will say that they tell what they do, and then they're accountable. They have a partner, a person that they're accountable to about what they're doing. And if they... he's supposed to encourage him and help them, and, he needs somebody
right.
to talk to or something. He's going to sink back into the habits. That's what they have.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's a person that you're held accountable to. You say, why? We don't do that in church.
We should.
You know what? I don't know why we don't.
Amen.
Because it's scriptural.
Amen.
You say, Robert, do you want to grow in the Lord?
Yes.
Is there things in your life that you'd say, you know, I'm just not there yet, and I really want to get... Let's just say you're like me. I'm slow to be a faithful soul winner. But you want to be a soul winner, right? Right?
Yes, yes.
How about you, right? You want to be a soul winner?
Yes.
You struggle with it?
Yes.
All right. Man, we're all on the same page. How about you? Faithful? You want to be a solid soul winner?
Of course.
Well, let's take another thing. How about praying? You struggle sometimes being faithful in prayer?
I love prayer.
Huh? A little struggle in there? What would it be if I'd say, you know, I forgot your first name.
Eric
and I go back away.
We don't.
Let's say we do. Eric knows me, I know him. And we both want the same thing. Say, Eric, listen, I'm struggling. I know that you want me to grow, and I know I need to grow. And I want you to be my accountability partner. I say, every week I want you to ask me the question, how did your prayer life look? Did you spend the time? I want you to ask me that. Did you spend the time in prayer that you said you were going to spend in time? And you'd agree to that.
That's good.
Every week you tell them, say, hey, call me up or something like that. Say, hey, how'd it go this week? Or maybe. Got a new subject on Wednesday night called purity. Big one.
It is big.
And you say, I need to keep my eyes pure, my heart pure, my mind pure. And I say, Robert, would you help me with that? Would you ask me each week, how'd your week go? Did you have a clean week this week? Good week?
I should be willing.
You know, in all the times that I've passed it, I only had one person that would ever say, Pastor, if you see anything you want me to, that you think I need to pay attention to, tell me about it. I want you to tell me. Don't be afraid to tell me something.
Come on.
Now, that's a big Christian that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a big Christian wants to grow. But you know why? We don't want that.
No.
You know why we don't want that? Because we don't want to be in submission.
Right.
We don't want to be accountable. And God is saying, this is a tool that I'm giving the church that you should be subject one to another. That a partnership, and if you look at it, the idea that it gives us here is what? One who partakes or shares with another or partakes an associate as she is a partner of my life, of my joys, of my grief.
That's good.
Let's look at the last partner. Accountability requires a partner to be in subjection. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 we read, and 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 we read. So we define the word subjection as good and voluntary. Now listen to me. This is where we need to do a game change. Subjection is good or bad? Why are you laughing? Is it good or bad? When we heard the word subjection, do we feel good about it? No. So what do we need to do in our thinking?
Come to God.
To God, I've got some twisted thinking. Yeah. It's not bad to be in, kids, it's not bad to be in subjection to your parents. Wife, it's not bad to be in subjection to your husband. Why is it not bad to be in subjection to your husband? It's not a bad thing.
No.
Because he, by that, so he will help you in the washing of water and regeneration.
Sorry.
He will help you.
Yes.
It's not a bad thing. And you say, well, how does that work with husbands and wives? Because the husband is, by the Bible, he's being subjection to his wife. As you just said, she's supposed to be in a subject. Listen, you voluntarily, listen to me, husbands. You voluntarily say, honey, you're the closest friend that I have. And here I want to grow in grace in some areas of my life. And if I can just entrust you, would you hold me accountable to certain things, like prayer life or devotions? I don't know of a wife that wouldn't jump on that and say, and you voluntarily put yourself under. I'm saying to you that this idea of accountability, I think, is probably one of the most unused tools that we have in the church. And I'm asking you tonight, you heard this message, or I think you did. You either have ears to hear, let him what? Hear. If you heard this message, what are you going to do with it? You say, I want to be a better Christian. I want God to be pleased. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an account where I blew it. And you kids, you might want to come to mom and dad and you say, listen, I know that I haven't always obeyed you and my attitude hasn't been always good when you reprimand me. Are you listening? Are you listening? And you say you really love your parents. Well, let's see if you really love them. Why don't you go to them and say, listen, I apologize for the way I... And anytime you see something wrong, you let me know without any doubt. And if I say and do anything, that I'm going to come to you and tell you. Because I'm what? In subjection.
Amen.
Subjection. Placed or situated under, being under the power and dominion of another. That means you allow somebody else to hold you accountable. Because why? You want to grow. You want to please God. And God put this in there. And listen, what did Jesus do? He did it for his disciples. Subjection. Purpose, to be accountable, to help to attain each other's spiritual goals. So, it's up to you, folks. I thank God for such a teaching.
Yeah.
I thank God that he's saying, listen, how many of you have a hard time? Brother, let me ask you. DJ, you have a hard time lying.
Yeah.
Is it really, there's a temptation there once in a while, right? Just a little, I can't lie to Robert. I just can't do it.
Well, you could lie, but then you have a guilty conscience. If you do,
yeah.
Lie, you have to really rectify that problem.
Yeah,
I have
to, yeah, exactly.
I say something wrong,
I mean, there's times that I want to put on show like maybe I'm something I'm not. But, you know, if you have this idea of accountability and you put themselves in and say, well, he's going to come to me and I cannot lie to him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. We can do a lot of other things, but we can't. That's one thing I found. One thing I can't do is lie.
It's good.
Yep.
It's good.
So let's take the time. You pray. Maybe you want to start with that person, such as your wife. Or your husband. And kids, maybe you need to start with mom and dad. But put somebody where you say, help me be accountable. We're going to close in prayer. Head bowed and eyes closed. Yes, going to come. And say, you know what? I want to grow. I want God to work in my life. Like I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And God has put somebody in my life to help me be accountable. And I'm going to use that. His head bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, please, we're a needy people. And Lord, I thank you that you've put some great people in our lives to help us, encourage us. Might be my mom or my dad. It could be my wife, my husband. It could be a friend that loves me and wants to help me. Father, I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't stay the same. Father, that we'd use these great things that you put in your word. And Father, that we would make ourselves subject to each other. Father, that we would want to help each other and grow. And Father, the devil wants to destroy us, but Father, you want to help us. And you put good people in our life to help us with that. So I pray that you just bless our time. The Lord has done your heart. You just take it to Him as the pianist plays. Before I do, when I was first called into the ministry, I knew God had dealt with me about being in the ministry. And I had went out and I'd tried to get something going and see schools and whatnot. And I just got weary and got tired. And this was a direction I told Debbie, I think the Lord wants us to go, and I really feel that I need to be following the Lord in some kind of full-time way. And I kind of just set it on the side because it was, I kind of gave up. And I believe with all of my heart, the Lord put the words on my wife. She didn't even remember it. When she came to me in just a very subtle tone, she said, "I thought the Lord was calling you into the ministry." Wow. Accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, that's what got the ball rolling. Somebody else can do that for you. It's powerful. Brother Robert, you want to come up and pray for us?
Yes. Let's go in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day that we can come and serve you, Lord, and thank you for the Word of God and encouraging us, Lord, to live more like you and be close to you, Lord, in our everyday walk and our everyday life. Lord, I just I can touch on some things that Brother Kurt spoke on, but I would miss them all. He touched a lot of things that helps us grow strong in your faith, trusting in you daily. And asking of you to help us through our situations that we put upon ourselves, Lord, in our lives. Bless us tonight, Lord. I praise you and thank you for your love, your grace, your blessings. You're humbling our hearts. Accountability with each of us that loves you, Lord. Bless us this time, I pray. Keep us safe, Lord, in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.